Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, as people know, or regular listeners to the show and regular readers of Steelers.com, you, myself, and Matt, Mike Pursuta have put together our triple take rankings of the top five players at each position in this draft. And Bucky Brooks for NFL.com put together his top five list for this draft.
Mine and where we differ on those.
He's updated it. This is 3.0, so I assume this is going to be his last one.
Makes sense.
As we're just over a week out from the draft. So at quarterback, he has Bryce Young, number one, C.J. Stroud, number two, Hendon Hooker, number three, followed by Anthony Richardson and Will Levis.
Gutsy. I know you put Hooker at four, which I was impressed with your moxie on that. I thought about it, didn't quite have the stones. My list went Stroud, Young, Richardson, Levis, Hooker. But Stroud versus Young to me is really a toss-up. I don't feel super strong about one or the other.
It is. And I do think that there is a gap between those two and the next three guys.
Yeah. I think I like Richardson more than you do, just because I think he can survive for 2 years with athleticism and running.
I just don't know that he's ever, you know, there are certain guys who are going to get more accurate or have shown that they can be more accurate. But not everybody gets more accurate.
Not everybody does.
And the guys, like when we're talking about, you know, Josh Allen getting more accurate, well, he was still reasonably accurate in college. Like he was a 60% passer-ish in that range.
And he's not Joe Burrow now either.
Yeah. Richards is a 50% passer in college.
Yeah, it's worse. I mean, his competition was a little harder, but still. You know, like we didn't do a lot of talking about the Jalen Hurts contract. Like I've heard a lot of this since he signed the deal, and I'm sure it's from agents and the team and everybody's excited about Jalen Hurts. Great. But they said every day he's been an Eagle, he's been the first person in the building and the last person out. And not that this matters, but he walks in with a briefcase and he treats it like a job, you know, like, and if Richardson takes that approach, he could be rewarded like Jalen Hurts. I just don't know. I mean, everyone's, he's a hard worker. He's a great guy. Yeah, but are you an obscene worker like Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady? If he is, he might be the best one in this class. If he isn't, he's in trouble.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think I've seen happening here, and this is what I did as well, I've just kind of soured on Levis as much as anything.
Me too. Quite a bit.
At running back, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, those are pretty chalky. Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, I think he's locked in at three as well.
Yeah. Devin Achane, and then Tyjae Spears. Those after three, I think, is where you get a lot of movement there. Because it's what are you looking for?
Exactly.
Do you want an explosive back? Okay. Do you want a guy who's 220 pounds is can carry the ball for you 20 times? What are you looking for in that back?
Mm-hmm. I feel very wishy-washy about 4 through 9, to be honest with you.
And they could all be good.
They could all be good.
But it's going to depend on where they land, too.
I think I put Roschon Johnson in my final five. I think of all the backs, I have the best clue of what he is. And it's not dynamic, but it's solid.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like Brian Robinson from last year.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
You know, he's going to be a grinder. He's going to take the football. You know, you can live with those guys.
Yep. I mean, he's big and he's talented.
At wide receiver, Jackson Smith and Jigba, number one. Zay Flowers, number two. Quentin Johnston, 3. Jordan Addison, 4. Jalin Hyatt, 5.
That's my exact list, I think.
I think that might be mine, too. If not, it's darn close to it.
It's darn close. I couldn't remember if I went Hyatt, 5, or Downs, but they couldn't be any more different. You know, it just kind of depends what you're looking for. But I feel pretty strongly about Zay Flowers at 2 now.
At tight end, he moved Dalton Kincaid up to 1. Michael Mayer's now down at 2. Darnell Washington, who visited the Steelers on Tuesday, is 3. Luke Musgrave, 4. Sam Laporta, 5. Those were my top 5 as well.
I went with...
I had Mayer number 1, though.
Okay. I regret it a little. I had Musgrave number 1. I don't hate that. I mean, I still like him more than consensus. But the more Laporta work I've done, and you had him in your top 5, and I had him 6. I had Tucker Kraft at 5. I like Laporta as much as any of these guys. You know, like, there's a couple dudes. Like, this is a Flowers argument. Iowa's offense was awful. Awful last year.
Awful, yeah.
And he was the only thing they had going for him.
And they've got a pretty good track record with tight ends.
Yes, 100%. And he's a lot more elusive. You know, like, I love Musgrave and I love Washington, but they're not real wiggly. You know, like, they don't have a lot of left-right agility. They run real fast in a big straight line, and they're huge. But, like, Laporta gets a ball and makes someone miss and stops and starts. And, you know, and the whole world knows he's getting the football. He's a really good player.
Yeah. If I was a young tight end, I would want to go to Iowa.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because I'm going to learn how to block, and I'm still going to catch the football.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be very valuable to an NFL team.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's a great class, though.
It is. It's interesting the Steelers brought Washington in on Tuesday.
I'm enamored with him. Yeah, I mean, he's such a good blocker. I mean, you and I walked past him. It was like, whoa. I mean.
It's a big dude, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of – we've seen a lot of football players up close, and few of them look like that. I think he's a raw receiver, you know, but the Steelers don't need him to be a top 3 option next year. You know, I mean,
and that's the thing. So, you know, yeah, they went out and re-signed Zach Gentry, mm-hmm. but it was a 1-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They've still got Connor Hayward, but he's probably going to be their fullback.
And if he walked past us in the hall, we wouldn't have had the same.
I actually did walk past him yesterday. So,
yeah.
And that's nothing against Connor Hayward. They couldn't be any different.
They couldn't be any different. Gentry and Connor Hayward aren't any different.
But Darnell Washington, he's the one guy of this group that, okay, if he's there at 32 or even 49, it depends on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because they like that number 2 tight end to be a big dude,
a
blocking tight end,
line, battling Ravens and Bengals. And yeah, and he can do that and more.
But he could be more than that.
And more than that, right.
Yeah.
Again, Gentry is fine. We've seen that. It works. But what if he ran a 4.5?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Okay. You know?
An offensive tackle. He's got Pete Skoronski 1. I always call him Pete Skoronski, not Peter. I wonder if he likes to, if that's something. Does he have to be called Peter? Is it like his mom sent you?
I always wonder that with some of his names.
Yeah. I remember there was a kid that I coached in baseball. His name was Jonathan. And every once in a while, I'd call him John, and his mom would correct me. It's Jonathan. Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I shorten everybody's name when I'm coaching them.
I can call you a lot worse things. No one calls me Matthew, but I don't care one bit if they do, you know.
Yeah.
You know, now I always, because you do see that, and you know it better than I do. A lot of these guys get drafted and they're like, everyone's been pronouncing my name wrong my whole life.
Yeah, right.
I don't really want to go by Peter. Please call me Pete. You know, like, change my football card. You know, I didn't want to make a fuss during the draft, but you guys have been butchering my name the whole time. Or, yeah, you know, things like
that. It started when I was a freshman in college and I wasn't allowed to talk to the media then, so nobody knew. You know,
right. Yeah, I was a 2-star recruit and they put Peter in the thing and nobody calls me Peter. I'm Peter.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. Right. But I don't think he's attacked either.
He bumped him up to one.
Yeah.
Moving Paris Johnson down.
Yeah. Okay. I have some questions about Johnson and Jones, but I would put Skoronski with the interior guys.
He has Broderick Jones 3, Darnell Wright 4, and Anton Harrison 5.
Yeah. I'm liking Harrison more than I did before. He's stronger, has heavier hands than I expected. And the Big 12 is so goofy. Like, the more tape I watch on this guy, it's RPO, or they're always going against 3-man defensive fronts. You know,
yeah.
Like, rarely is there this dude screaming off the edge like he's got to deal with in the league. But he handles it with ease. But, man, I mean, the college game's so weird sometimes.
That's just – I can't get past that with some of the Big 12
yeah
players like that. It's I always look at them as being finesse players.
It's just so much space.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not.
You just don't have that in the NFL.
No.
Because you've got 22 huge bodies in a, you know, I mean, it looks like it's a huge space, but it's really not when you put 22 big men out there like that.
No, they've covered as much ground as they do. And the hash marks don't give you that wide side. And even like the offensive line splits are so wide sometimes. And I mentioned the 3-man front. So, I mean, every team now is running a 5-man front. And, you know, everyone thinks the Eagles is a 4-3 team. They have 5 guys across the line of scrimmage, like 70% of the time. And he's dealing with 3 of them, you know, and none of them.
You got to figure out who you're picking up.
Yeah, right. But I like the player more and more just watching him do what he does. But it's not it's apples to oranges.
I still like Bergeron, was my number 5. I just think he's a tremendous run blocker.
I like his physicality, thickness.
Yeah. Whether he plays left or right, I don't care. He's done, but, you know, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
He plays guard for you while he learns. Yeah.
Yeah.
At guard, we got Osiris Torrance, Steve Avila, John Michael Schmitz, or these are the interior guys, I should say, Luke Whipler, and Joe Tipman.
Okay. Whipler in my top 5.
Yeah, that's a little different than my top 5. I think we both listed Skoronski inside. So that bumps one guy off your list. I had Tipman as my number 2, I think, behind Torrance. I think I had him ahead of Torrance. If I didn't have him ahead of Torrance, they were 2-3.
Pulling it up because I know him. Oh, I had Cody Mock in there too.
Yeah.
I hated leaving Avila out, but I had Skoronski, Michael Schmitz, Torrance, Tipman, Mock.
This interior group's not bad.
No, it's not. I like it more and more.
Yeah, I mean, there's dudes.
Just this morning, I heard this about Mock. Is he snapped every day at practice of his college career. Like, he's very comfortable doing the center stuff. Never got a chance to do it because he was a tackle. You know, I mean, he was a tight end turned tackle. He can be a center.
Yeah. It's an interesting group. He's just not – he doesn't have the base that some of these other guys have.
Michael Schmitz or –
Yeah. Tipman or Avila or, you know, pick one.
Like, I think Avila is a 10-year starter. You know what I mean? Like, from day one.
I mean, I think every one of these guys on that top 5 list are
– Yeah.
These guys are all long-time starters.
Like, I look at the Giants at the end of the first round. Like, as much as they run the ball, just give me any of those.
Yeah.
2 of them.
On the edge, he's got Will Anderson, number 1. No surprise there. Tyree Wilson 2, Miles Murphy 3, Lucas Van Ness 4, Keon White 5. He bumped Murphy up 2 spots to 3, up ahead of Van Ness and Keon White.
Me too.
I mean, I did. I had him there all the entire time. I thought he would do well, and you know, when he finally got the chance to work out, he didn't just do well at his workout.
Blew it up.
He blew it up. Yeah.
I mean, he's I was way too low on him. I'd have a hard time passing on him at 17, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's there.
Not only did he blow up his, you know, he ran a 4.53
Yeah.
He did it at 200 and I think it was 273 pounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was listed at 268. So he actually got heavier for his workout and still ran in the 4.5s.
And faster, and all his agility drills were phenomenal. I mean, like, and his tape is really good. I mean, he's a stud edge or run defender. He has some inconsistencies, sure, but all these D linemen do. So
he's young.
He's really young. Like, I rarely do mock drafts without you, to be honest with you. But I did, like, a week ago, and I, with the intentions of, what's it look like if they take Murphy at 17? And it worked out that way, and I posted it on Twitter. And, of course, 85% of the people, he doesn't fit. He would be a third-string guy here between behind Highsmith and Watt. And I'm like, you're looking at this all wrong.
All wrong.
And I don't care. He doesn't have to turn into Aaron Smith to me. He doesn't have to skim down to be TJ Watt. Just, I almost wrote an article this week about it. If the Steelers didn't trade for Robinson, I was going to write this article. And someday I will. That I almost don't care what defensive linemen, you know, of course they have to have a position and a responsibility every snap. But all I want are apex predators. You know, like, I use this example, and I'm still kind of refining how I say it. Like, oh, we have a tiger-based defense. I have no use for a leopard or lion. Like, shut up. You know, I don't need that tiger shark. I don't need that mako because we only want great whites. Or, you know what I mean? Like, give me every apex predator that's nasty as can be, that's impossible to block, and I'll figure it out.
Again, I don't have to squint real hard to get Miles Murphy at 6'5", up to 285, 290 pounds.
And if he doesn't, I don't care. But if he does, you know what I mean?
I mean, that was always the issue. I go back to when the Steelers had Mike Vrabel. And one year he's a defensive end. Now the next year, go ahead and lose 20 pounds. We want you to play outside linebacker. Then the next year, now we're going to bump you back to defensive end. Like, make up your mind. Really just use the player.
Yeah, right. I mean, on 2nd and 10, he's out there. On 1st and 10, he's out there. Sometimes he sits. You know, just keep rotating them in.
Yeah.
Find a guard that can't handle his length and line him up over that guy that week. You know, or a tackle that is a little slow-footed and line him up there that week. The one funny thing, I don't know if you know this, he's got tiny hands. He has 8.5-inch hands. He has these crazy long arms. He's 6'5", but he has tiny hands. And doesn't really show up on tape. I mean, we had this conversation a year ago about tiny hands, but I found that kind of funny. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's strange. And, you know, the other three guys here on this list, Van Ness and Keon White, the final three guys, all kind of the same type.
Big.
White's a little bit, White's the outlier there. He's 285 now.
Yeah.
But they're all kind of in that range of, they're all 6'5", you know, 270 to 285. And they just, you just line them up. And I get it. In years past, the Steelers wouldn't have looked at those guys because they're 4'3" defensive ends.
I'm trying to train our listeners and readers that stuff matters so much less now than it used to.
You're in your nickel or dime defense 75% of the time.
You're a 4-man front or a 5-man front, you know, whatever. I mean, I could play him all over the place. I just don't happen to like Van Ness that much, you know, but he's the same way.
Yeah.
I just prefer Murphy a great deal.
Yeah, I do too.
Big guys that are hard to block.
Yep. I'm with you on that. And we'll see where that goes at defensive tackle. He's got Jalen Carter 1. He's bumped Kalijah Kancey up to his number 2, moving Brian Brisset down to 3. Mazi Smith 4.
He's one of the few that I don't think Kancey does fit, though. I'm trying not to talk out of both sides of my mouth.
Right,
right. I mean,
because of the length. He doesn't have the length.
Yeah, the short arms worry me to no end.
Yeah.
And another thing is, if you're a D tackle, in this defense, you got to be able to take on special teams, you know, double teams. And I can't just have a designated pass rusher D tackle.
Right.
I mean, if it's a 5th round pick, sure. But, you know.
Yeah, that's a little different. He better be able to do more than just rush on passing downs.
Yeah. Because because Murphy can line up at a nine technique, a seven technique, a four eye, you know, where I think
Kansas, well, they did it with Leal last year. You know, when TJ, they did it with Leal last year when TJ Watt was out. Yeah. Leal was playing out essentially outside linebacker. He wasn't dropping in the coverage.
Right.
But he was out there rushing the passer, setting the edge.
Like, yeah. I don't think Kansas could do that. Murphy would be fine there, and inside or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Adebowari is his number five.
I lumped him in my top five too.
I had Benton ahead of him.
Did you?
Yeah. I had Benton ahead of Mazi Smith too, so.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm not sure if I had Benton in my top five or not. I must not have, because I had Adebowari, and I think Mazi, but he was a just miss. Benton could be a Steeler though.
Yeah, he definitely could be. And you know, if you miss on Brise in the first round, you know, or at 32, if he's happens to be available there. But I think Benton's a nice fallback there if you want to add a defensive tackle.
His style will play in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are – is Brian Brise a classic nose tackle? No.
No.
Can he play nose tackle? Yes.
Yeah.
I would much rather take Brian Brise and say, hey, Brian, you're going to play 15 snaps a game on the nose because, well, last year we had times where we put Cam Hayward on the nose, and we don't want to do that to Cam anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't love that. I mean, he lined up more outside the tackle, which I thought was miscast, than he did on the nose.
Yeah.
But he can. You know, I mean, he's another one. Just he's an interior defensive lineman. You know, between him and Ogunjobi and Cam, one of them can play the nose. And they have two dudes that are nose tackles, you know, that aren't dynamic, but they're sit there squatty nose tackle types.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll play a lot of snaps as a rookie.
At linebacker, he moved Nolan Smith to off ball linebacker, which I don't have a problem with.
I think we both did that cheat code too.
I didn't on my second go round. I probably should have, because I've talked about it enough that, you know, I just kept him outside just because I wanted to get some more names onto the inside linebacker spot. He has Drew Sanders number one, followed by Nolan Smith.
Do you have a preference for the Steelers? Like, I think those three, I'll take Nolan Smith out of the equation. I think Simpson, Sanders, Campbell are the top three true off-the-ball linebackers, and all are dependent on what you're looking for. Like, they're very different.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shocked Henley's not in his top five. I think Henley's clearly the fourth true off-the-ball guy.
Yeah, yeah, I think so as well. For me, I think, to me, Drew Sanders is Lawrence Timmons with better pass rush ability.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Simpson to me is more Kendrell Bell.
Good comparison, yeah.
And then Campbell is kind of a combination. You know what? He's I think more of the modern day. Hey, I can do everything pretty well. You know,
I don't have a great comp for him, but
yeah, I don't either because of that length. I mean, the length is unbelievable.
I think he's a green dot guy. You know, I mean, I think he's a get everyone aligned. Campbell, I mean, might be
the closest thing for Campbell is Tremaine Edmonds. Except I think he's better than Tremaine Edmonds.
I mean, Edmonds was so raw coming in the league where Campbell was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's a much more finished product. And absolutely. Yet Edmonds went in the first round and Campbell's probably going to go in the second. Because that's how that position is now valued.
Like, I think Campbell wins the starting job before the first preseason game here. Not that the other
wouldn't,
but I think I feel real good about that.
Yeah, I would too. So I'm listening to NFL, Sirius NFL today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Charlie Weiss show. And they were talking about this inside linebacker group. And he was asked, I think it was John Papa who hosted it with him. And he asked him, or Weiss just offered it up on his own. He says, the question I would have for Drew Sanders is, why did he transfer from Alabama to Arkansas? Now, he was mistaken about this for his senior year. Drew Sanders is still a junior, so he could have gone back to school this year.
Right. He had a really good year, so he came out.
To me, I think it's he wanted to play.
Going to play. So I heard this same conversation on a podcast this morning. It was actually Cosell. He was on with Ross Tucker. And he said, because he was talking highly of Sanders on the podcast, and said, remember, this guy's an off-the-ball linebacker for 1 year. And that's a position that takes a long time to learn. So he's way ahead of the curve from doing that. And this should shock no one, but Bama's edge rushers are Will Anderson, who's going to be a top three pick. And next year they got a guy who's just as good as Will Anderson. I don't know. I forget his name, you know, like, of course they do, you know?
Yeah. And they may have just told him, hey, look, we're not going to move you inside because we got, you know, we have Henry Tutu there. We have, you know,
so, yeah, yeah. We draft, you know. And you're good at rushing the passer. So you're our third dude. You're not a starter here. But yeah, he would be on 99% of the teams.
And so he transfers to Arkansas. And the other thing about it is people forget about the NIL money.
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, he say, hey, well, I'm going to go into the transfer portal and see what's out there. I'm the third guy. You know, I'm coming off the bench and playing 15 snaps a game at Alabama. But if I go to Arkansas, this guy's offering me, I'm going to get $100,000 a year in NIL money.
Yeah.
As a starter.
My door 2 years ago to sign me. You know, I didn't do anything. I'm still the same player. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, everyone transfers now. I don't call anybody out on transferring.
No, I mean, that's just the reality of today's college football and, well, college athletics, period. Guys transferring like that. I love Drew Sanders. I like his fit for the Steelers.
Me too.
Because of how, you know, I think he would help kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's the starter, okay, that's fine. But if he's not the starter,
right.
He's my number one edge rusher coming off the bench.
And I have a package for him with Watt and Highsmith and right. And it's not the same, but it's a little bit like my Miles Murphy rant. Like, give me really hard guys to block.
Right.
You know, wherever I line up, you know, he's hard to play against.
It's kind of the way I looked at my number five guy on my inside backers list, and that was Nick Herbig. Yeah. I'm sorry. I look at him kind of the same way.
Right.
You know, they're both of them know how to get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, the only difference with Herbig is he's played outside, although they did have him, you know, do linebacker drills at the combine and things of that nature. And he's super athletic. I think those guys, again, positionless football.
Yeah.
I could take that guy. Again, I brought up the Steelers taking Chad Brown and bumping him inside. And then later in his career, they bump him back outside. And, you know, he goes out and gets, 14 and a half sacks or whatever it was.
As long as these guys are diligent workers and smart. You know, I mean, that plays all day. And your defensive front's going to look a lot different against the Ravens than it is against the Bengals. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, because of the teams in your own division.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to you have to be able to attack teams differently. You can't just go out there. Well, we run our 4-3 or 3-4 defense and here it is. And, you know, it's not 2002 anymore. I mean, and even in 2002, you know, when you tried to do that.
Yeah.
The Patriots and Raiders came out and said, okay, you're just gonna play with your 3-4 defense. We're gonna go three wide receivers and just throw the football on you every single down.
Yeah. And what's your answer for Gronk? And you know, of course, you know, no doubt. I mean, what Chiefs? I mean, Steelers played 7-man fronts against the Ravens at the end of the year. Sanders would be on the line of scrimmage there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, next to Watt or you know, outside Highsmith or whatever.
At cornerback, this is pretty, it's kind of, well.
There's a guy from Maryland not on here.
Not on there. So he has Devin Witherspoon, number one, Christian Gonzalez, number two, Joey Porter, number three, Cam Smith, number four, Emmanuel Forbes, number five. So,
he was all over the board on Cam Smith.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, a lot of mock drafters or a lot of analysts have him sliding down deeper. I still like him.
I like him too. I don't think I can use a first round pick on him, but
no, I don't think I would do that, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody did.
He's zone heavier than some of these other top corners.
Yeah.
Which I love, you know,
Forbes is the guy to me that I have a hard time getting past 166 pounds.
Oh man.
Because the tape is so good. And then I have to keep reminding myself that this dude's 166 pounds.
Right. I mean, I feel like if you pass on him, you might regret it for a long time.
Yeah.
If you take him, you might regret it for a long time. Yeah, it's like kicking this guy in the field, you know?
Yeah.
So are you just happier if he goes somewhere else and he's not your problem? You know, I really have mixed feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I love the ball skills. They're elite. But
tape's
166
great.
Pound corner, does that play in today's NFL? I don't think so, but
right.
You know, he held up in the SEC.
Right. No question
about it. Not like he was playing in the MAC.
Right. It's unfair. You mentioned Golson earlier. They're not built the same at all. They may weigh the same, but yeah. Forbes is 6'1" or whatever, super long arms. He's just very skinny. I would have Banks over Smith and Forbes, though.
I think so, too. The thing that if I were a team looking at Emmanuel Forbes, I want to take a look at his mom and dad.
That's a huge recruiting thing.
Like, what a mom and dad. Are mom and dad super thin like that? And that's just their genetics?
Yeah. Or, I know body composition stuff's come a long way where this guy's still growing. I mean, I know I'm talking way below, you know, ahead of my pay grade, but I do know that things have changed where you measure their wrists and all this stuff and say, he's probably still growing, or boy, look how big mom and dad are. Maybe he's just a late bloomer physically. my buddy Skip Raker, who I pledged with in my fraternity at UPJ, we used to fine him $10 if he wore shorts in the lobby because he was too skinny and he embarrassed all of us. And he could eat 24 hours a day and wouldn't have got over 110 pounds. Skip's the best, but it was like, there's just some people that can't put on weight.
There's just some people that can't put on weight. I will say this. Forbes is 22. He just turned 22.
Okay.
You know, some guy, again, people age a little differently. They develop a little differently. You know, maybe you talk to mom and dad, and dad was the same size. I have a friend when he was a senior in high school, he was 6'3" and wrestled at 98 pounds. Wow. He was 6'1" and wrestled 98 pounds. By the time he graduated college, he was 6'3" and, you know, 180 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, some people just develop differently.
My brother-in-law is 6'5", has lived off of almost exclusively Copenhagen, Coors Light, and McDonald's. And I think he weighs 125.
Yeah.
Like, it would be 400 pounds.
The safety position, Matt. And this is one I like this group. Again, I think because of the way the position is now valued, maybe some of these guys get pushed down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
He has Brian Branch 1, Antonio Johnson 2, Jordan Battle 3.
Yeah.
Sidney Brown 4, Jair Brown 5. Battle didn't make my top 5, but he just missed.
Same.
Again, love the player, but, you know, I just love both Illinois safeties.
I do too.
And, you know, I don't understand how you can't have Quan.
Yeah.
On this list.
Unless you call him a corner.
Well, that would be the difference. And some people do that.
And I get that.
Because he is athletic enough to play corner.
And he probably wouldn't be in my top 5 corners, but he was my 2 safety.
Yeah, mine as well. And that's Quan Martin, by the way, for people wondering. Right. I just think he's a dynamic player. Again, positionless football. I'd have if the Steelers took him at 49, I would not only have a problem with it, I would love it.
At 49, yes. I agree. I don't think he's in my top 32 any way you cut it, but kind of like the Drew Sanders conversation. Like, he can be a corner. Probably don't want to be a corner, but I know he's a slot. He might be Minka's backup if he gets hurt when you have two safeties out there. He's certainly a big nickel guy. Like, positionless football. I mean, that's
I think there's – I've compared him to DeMonte KZ a little bit. The better comparison might be Cam Sutton.
I think he's longer than both of them and more athletic than both of them.
Right.
Certainly talent-wise.
And he takes the football away, and he's played – you know, he's played all over the defense at Illinois, and, you know, he's a really good pass defense. Like, yeah, sign me up for that guy.
Yeah, he's going the second round. He just brings too much to the table.
Right, right. And I realize, you know, you got Cam Sutton in the third round back in 2017, but, you know, he didn't run as well as this guy. He didn't, you know.
Quite as big either.
Yeah.
That was also a really good corner draft, too. I remember when they took Sutton saying, most years he goes higher than this.
Yeah. So, to me, I just look at Martin and I think, this is a guy that I want. I want to do business with that guy.
Yeah. We can find something to do with him. And I'm sure he's good on special teams. I mean, but that's down the list of what I want him for. He's going to be a major contributor in this defense.
Yeah. That was Bucky Brooks updated top fives at each position. And well, this, if things work out correctly for the Steelers, they should get at least two, possibly three of those guys.
Oh, very possibly, yeah. I mean, there's
going to
be
the way this draft works out.
A lot of names that weren't listed that'll get drafted in the top three rounds or in top two rounds, you know.
Yeah. So again, that's why this is such a fascinating draft, and wouldn't surprise me, given what the Steelers have done, if they try to acquire a couple more picks in those mid to late rounds.
Like, this is a bigger
late project. Day two, somewhere in day two and maybe early day three pick. Wouldn't surprise me if they try to acquire something there.
I just don't know how many more roster spots are available on this team.
Well, that's the problem too.
Fill up. Yeah, they're starting to fill
but
up.
A lot of these contracts that they gave out in this offseason are easy to get out of.
They're easy to get out of, and right. And there's players you're not going to mind that leave the team a year from now, and they'll bring you back comp picks. And
not only that, but, you know, when you have these veteran guys like that on your roster and then you get into training camp and another team has an injury,
you can trade
those guys.
You can trade those guys. And people get hurt, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, you can subscribe now to The Drive. Every episode we do is available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcasts. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to be back with segment three right after this.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.